Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Don't Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. LSU was on a bye now last week, so thankfully we didn't have to suffer through another loss, but we weren't here, so we do have to talk about the Ole Miss loss and preview the slaughter that will be this weekend in the Alabama game. Joining me, as always, is my co-host Wes. How are you doing this evening?
Good, man. Like I said, not down from a loss this week, so that's good.
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of a relaxing Saturday, and honestly, this Saturday is probably just as relaxing.
Probably so. Really, I don't really.
I have no expectations for this game this week. I don't really even want to talk about it, but I guess we're gonna have to. First, I guess let's roll through the Ole Miss loss. So like I said, LSU was off last week. We played Ole Miss the week before. It was, of course, 31-17. It was just pretty much an ass whooping from the beginning to the end. I honestly don't even remember a whole lot about it. I tried to block it out of my mind as much as possible. I don't know. What do you remember from it, Wes? Anything in particular?
No, I mean, I don't think it was as competitive as the 31-17 score shows. And it was just all around pretty – I mean, it was exactly what the team was every game this year before the win against Florida. That, again, we kind of talked about the win against Florida made no sense. I told you I didn't really have a lot of confidence coming out of that the team had just turned some corner. I cannot explain the Florida game still, but I mean, this looked right back to the team that we had seen.
It's starting to come back to me a little bit. I'm looking at the stats. Davis Price only 53 yards after having a huge game the week before. You know, it was almost like LSU saw what worked for against Florida, so they did the same thing against Ole Miss. And when Ole Miss was prepared for that and was ready to counter that, they had nothing else. It was
LSU was actually winning this game for a while. Just a little bit before halftime, LSU was winning this game, but just on the scoreboard, like watching it, it looked like LSU knew that they were outmatched and was doing everything they could to try to get extra points and get extra possessions, and we weren't as good a team.
Yeah, it just, you know, the blocking scheme, I think, that we talked about last week, as opposed, you know, the gap blocking as opposed to the zone blocking, I think to try to do that again, they just had no adjustments. It was just like, it reminded me much like Les Miles-esque. I think we had a game where we played Alabama and like nothing was working under Les Miles, and we just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's exactly what it reminded me of. It was like I was in the Twilight Zone reliving some kind of history that just sucked. obviously, we have a lot of injuries for that game, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better for this week. I think there's somebody out. I'm trying to think of who it is off the top of my head. Hold on, I have it in my thing here. Do you know who I'm talking about?
There's Baskerville may not play, but I think they said today he might play in a limited role. Everybody in the secondary, all of our secondary starters is out except for Jay Ward.
That's who I was thinking of, Jay Ward. I think Flott might not play, right?
Correct. I think every starter in our and again, we're talking about a Alabama team that, you know, throws for 320 yards a game. Gonna be tough.
Yeah, I was listening to Matt Moscone the other day, and he was mentioning, I know we're kind of skipping ahead a little bit to game preview, but he was mentioning that, you know, our defense really isn't going to slow Bama down. Bama's given up some points to some teams. And really the only way we have a chance is if it's like some kind of shootout where, you know, like a 52-42 game or something like that. And I don't even know if we have the offensive manpower to even to do that. I guess the big news coming out of this week, and is there anything else in the game you wanted to talk about? I know I kind of skipped it ahead a little bit.
No, I mean, it was a disappointing game that didn't have, I don't think, a lot to try to relive and get excited about. Looking back, honestly, since then, I'm not even sure if Ole Miss is that great of a team. I mean, they lost the next week. And, I mean, this is just – LSU is just not a great team either, though.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just trying to get through the season, really. And maybe get bowl eligible, and that's something we can talk about a little bit too. You know, if you are bowl eligible, you got to win two more games. So you lose against Bama, then you have ULM. You'll win that game, and you got to win A&M or Arkansas. If we get bowl eligible, should we even play in the bowl? Should we just cut bait?
I mean, I think that they will and they'll have to, because it's more about the money, especially with us, all the money we're having to pay to Orgeron to leave. So any amount of, even if you get a crappy bowl and get $3 or $4 million, it's, I think, necessary. Having said that, I mean, I think that they were talking about there was a time last week that if we had had a game instead of the bye week, like there was days we couldn't practice because we didn't have enough people to practice. Well, and this is, we're talking about, you got 90 players on a college team. I mean, we couldn't, I mean, didn't know if we could, there was a day we could not practice.
I mean, that's just.
I would say that they would have to figure out a way to do that. But I mean, after this disappointing season, I mean, we can't go take even a mid-range bowl against a decent team and just get slaughtered. I think that's embarrassing too.
Yeah. I mean, the only good thing is, I guess, that you would get an extra week of practice. Or actually a few months, I think, of practice.
Yeah.
The big news that came out last week was that Miles Brennan was transferring, hitting the transfer portal. I was a bit surprised by that just because, I think it was his mom or his dad or somebody had came out a while back and said, you know, he's committed to staying at LSU. He's not going anywhere. I guess so. From that aspect, I was a little surprised about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, disappointing. I'm not with this kind of position of what we're going through with getting a new coach and all this. I'm sure with him, he probably thinks that if there's not a guarantee next year, I'm guessing while Orgeron was here. Orgeron had told him, if you get healthy, you're going to play. You won the starting job. And again, I'm kind of speculating here. That's the reason he wouldn't have transferred before, is if he was sitting on, I've got to get in front of somebody. I don't think he's going to sit here to compete with Max Johnson and Walker Howard and Arch Manning and whoever else. I don't think he's caring about coming in to compete. Like, he knows he needs to get time on the field.
It was kind of weird because, I mean, unless you go to a very, very small school, any school you go to, you're going to have to battle against someone. You know, I was trying to think of reasons why he would leave. So, you know, new coach coming in, you're going to have a new coach if you transfer. New system, you're going to have a new system if you transfer. You know, you don't know if you're going to start. And like I said, unless he goes to a very, very small school, there's no guarantee he'll start. If anything, I would think try to maybe go pro, maybe just have, you know, how they'll have like an LSU day where they'll go out and do stuff or work out for the scouts and then try to catch on as a free agent or something. Obviously, you're not going to shake the fact that you're a health risk. I mean, you've been injured pretty much your entire career at LSU. So you're not going to shake that in 1 year.
I think that what he put on tape at the start of last year, he was, I mean, leading the entire country in basically every offensive category as a quarterback. He will have a very decent sized school tell him that if you come here, if you are healthy, you are the starting quarterback. He will have somebody very decent. And I mean, again, I think that he probably would have gotten that here at LSU too. There is just nobody for him to talk to give him that guarantee right now. I think that if Orgeron or whoever the replacement coach had already been announced, then I think that's something that he can, you know, risk.
Yeah. And there was somebody else who transferred out this week or last week. Was it Buda Baker?
Buda Baker plays for the Arizona Cardinals.
Jesus Christ, I'm not thinking right.
No.
Somebody with a weird name like that. Who am I thinking of?
Bug Strong.
That's it.
Is also left the team.
Bug Strong. God, Buda Baker. What the fuck am I talking about? It's been a long day. Bug Strong. So he's leaving too. You know, pretty much anybody is either jumping ship or is hurt. One thing that I have noticed on Twitter the past couple of days is a lot of recruits tweeting, you know, solid, and then have the Tiger sign behind it.
Yeah, there's been some good stuff as far as people saying they're definitely going to stay. The four big offensive linemen, Emory Jones, Bordelon, West, and Campbell have all said that they're going to stay. I believe that Dakoldis Crawford, the wide receiver, said he's going to stay. And then the running back Citizen has said, I think there's some good news out of, you know, some of those staying. And then the guy who's friends with Walker Howard also said he's going to stay. That's Will Campbell. He's good friends with Walker Howard. Now, of course, we got Walker Howard, who has taken a second visit to Notre Dame, which, again, with what we're going through, I can't fault anybody for looking around, at least, you know, waiting to make 100% commitment till they figure out what we're doing.
Yeah. You just have to, I guess, just know and have faith that Woodward is going to make a big hire. You look at someone like Franklin at Penn State, whose stock probably dropped a little bit, you know, because they've got two losses in a row. Whereas you look at somebody like Mel Tucker, whose stock is rising. You know, they're winning all these games. They beat Michigan. They're in the initial top four in the playoff rankings. Lane Kiffin. You know, I don't know. I've heard the name Matt Rhule throw it around a bit. From Carolina. I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know.
That would surprise me.
Yeah. Me too. I'm really thinking it's going to be Tucker or Aranda at this point. Man, listen. I have no inside knowledge on this. This is just me speculating or wishful thinking. I think it's going to be one of those two, or it's going to be somebody that nobody's talking about, like that we haven't, a name that we haven't heard. I really think that Woodard has had a target on somebody probably before the season even started, you know, and maybe he's worked that person. I'm still hoping for Saban. I mean, if I had to pick, you know, I know it's a long shot, but shit, I'm still hoping for him. You know, I'm hoping that maybe Woodward can placate to his ego and get him here.
I believe I'd read somebody the other day saying they really believe it's Mel Tucker and Jimbo Fisher are the two.
I really don't want Jimbo.
I don't want Jimbo either, but if I mean, it'd be really dumb of us to think that Scott Woodward doesn't like Jimbo Fisher.
I know he does. I mean, he
isn't going
him
to
there.
Talk to him. He hired him and gave him a massive contract.
I know.
So it's I mean, it would just be again silly for us to think that. I mean, he doesn't think that was a good hire.
Yeah, I mean, I just.
Yes, Bruce Feldman's been. I mean, he's been consistently saying that is going to be a thing, but he's also said Mel Tucker is a big one, and Mel Tucker just had a big win this past weekend against Michigan. I don't know anything about him besides he's done well at his last two schools, but
and he's a saving guy.
He seemed like a fiery, kind of energetic guy that people want to play for.
I like that he's a saving guy. Saban's hired him, I think, three different times at different places he's gone. So obviously he sees something in him to keep rehiring like that.
I like that he's a young guy that, I mean, that could possibly too, be here for 10 years or more. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me. And he's here in 10 years, and 10 years from now, he's not 75.
Right.
That's Ace. Interesting to me.
Saban said he'll coach another 10 years. Just saying. And I think that one of the things you could tell Saban is, look, you built it up. Yeah, it kind of went to shit after you left. At least, well, I mean, they still won two national championships after he left. But, you know, it's kind of crap now. But look, as long as I'm the AD here, which I'm not going anywhere, your legacy will be safe. Like, if you come here and rebuild this program and retire in 10 years, I'm not going to let it go to crap again. Like, as long as I'm here, it's going to be a top program.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe he can lure him. It's going to cost a lot of money. But I mean, hell, even if they paid him double the salary, I mean, that Alabama is, I'd take him right now. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I'm just saying if they do.
I don't even think they call. I get what
they gotta call. They gotta call.
He's not leaving.
They have to call. Like, whether it's directly to him or to his agent, they got to make the call. Like, at some point, I would imagine that call has actually already been made.
I think you call and ask whoever you get, you ask them if Gary Patterson will come be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
If he wants to reestablish himself.
And then, you know, they still people throwing around a coach at ULL. I don't know. Anyway, all speculation. We'll get there. We'll get there eventually. Like I said, LSU was on a bye last week. There weren't really a lot of good, games last week in the SEC. I think the big one was Georgia, Florida. Was that last week?
Well, the Ole Miss Auburn game.
Yeah, that was a good win.
I mean, Mississippi State beat Kentucky.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about that. Okay, so Georgia beat Florida 34-7. I think I thought that would be closer. I really did. I thought Florida might give them a little bit more of a game because that's kind of a big rivalry.
I think Georgia's going to kill everybody this year that they play.
I think so, too. I think it's finally their year. Like we said, Auburn beat Ole Miss 31-20. Mississippi State beat Kentucky. And Missouri beat Vanderbilt. So that was where the games last week. Obviously, LSU plays Alabama this week. It is unfortunately a primetime game, so we get to be embarrassed on national television. But the game is at 6. It is at Alabama.
Alabama favored by 28.5, which is
that was
extremely generous.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to think they covered that. I don't know. I don't know how much you can even preview this game because it's just if LSU were to win this game, it would almost be like Appalachian State beating Michigan kind of thing. Like, it would have to be that big of an upset. Yeah,
with the team that we're putting out there right now, I mean, missing a lot of starters, and I don't think that the team is going to quit on Orgeron. I think that if it hadn't been announced that he was leaving, they probably would because of a lot of things have gone on. But I think that they, out of respect for him and liking him as a person, I think that they will try really hard. But this is just not a this doesn't match up favorably. This team is Alabama's going to throw a lot of deep passes, and we're going to have a bunch of guys who haven't seen a lot of time in college, you know, chasing around receivers. I just think it could be I mean, we're just talking about what it is. This isn't our starting team. This isn't the most inspired team. They already weren't playing well with the starters. And I don't know how we're going to necessarily block their defensive linemen when we're in pass protection very well.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of like I said before, I think if we had a chance, it would be a kind of like a high-scoring game. I don't know that our defense can slow them down at all. And it would just be up to our offense to try to pick spots and score. I don't know. I mean, they've had some points scored on them.
Well, their last five games, four of which are against SEC teams, they've scored 63, 42, 38, 49, and 52.
But how many were scored against them?
14, 21, 41, 9, and 24.
Who was the 41?
That was the game they lost to Texas A&M.
So,
but everything else, they really haven't been giving up points.
If you look at past Alabama teams, it was like they were going to score a shit ton of points, but their defense was locked down too. So you really just didn't have a chance. If A&M can put up 41, I don't see why we couldn't put up that. Like, I really think it's going to be a high scoring game. I still think they'll cover the spread, though. At least I hope it's a high-scoring game. You know, I wouldn't mind just sitting there watching offense the whole time. You know, that'd be kind of cool. You have a score prediction, Wes?
I mean, 57-20. No, 57-17. I'll predict them. I think this is a pretty ugly game, and I think that this week. Stupidly, there have been a whole lot of references, I guess the last 2 weeks, to the 2019 win in Alabama. This is the first time we've played them in Alabama since then. And I really think that Alabama is going to make a statement in this game because Orgeron has brought up the 2019 game. I mean, he just 2 days ago was still bringing it up. I think that you're giving them some firepower of, and I mean, this is something college teams will talk about. The last time they were here 2 years ago, they beat us. Today, we're going to show them. And I mean, this is a team that we recruit against rather heavily, whether it's in Louisiana and Alabama. This is a game they will have recruits at. It makes a lot of sense for a game like this. This should be a statement game for them. And if, this is not one where they're like, oh, we're up by 15. We'll just chill here at the last.
Right.
15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm going to say, 56-24. Yeah, that sounds about right. So, moving on for a second, LSU basketball is getting ready to start up.
It is. Very
yes.
quickly.
Yes, November 9th. So, next Tuesday. Both the men and women's start against Nichols. The women play at like 11 a.m. It's kind of an odd time to be playing. That's their first official game. The women did have a exhibition game on October 30th against Langston. Did you see that one?
I did not.
So the final score was 112-48 in a women's basketball game. We scored 112. I mean, I know it's an exhibition game, but good Lord. They had an exhibition game against Nichols, and they won 74-62. So the men scored 74 against Nichols, and the women scored 112. That's just insane. I take that back. LSU men opens. They do open November 9th, but it's against ULM.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the little start with ULM, Texas State, Liberty, McNeese, Belmont, and then Penn State.
Yeah. So, you know, and then they have like a holiday Hoopsgiving game on December 11th. That's kind of
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be getting into it. We'll be covering SEC play doesn't start until December 29th.
Yeah. Auburn, which Auburn is going to be good this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we go to Kentucky right after that. So, or Kentucky comes here, I guess, on January 4th. So we'll be into it pretty quick.
Yeah, it goes real quick. Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee. Like it's good. We've got 10 or 11 games to kind of get going, figure out what we are as a team. Hopefully win most of them. And then, it's a tough schedule there. From December 29th to January 22nd. We got a month getting after it.
And there was some news this week about Will Wade and all this allegation shit. I don't know. We don't even really need to get into it. It's been covered ad nauseum. So, if you feel like feeling nauseous for a while and want to watch LSU Bama, feel free. I will watch the game, it's more for amusement for me at this point until the season ends. Obviously, you know, ULM will win, and who knows what happens after that. But and then I think LSU baseball has some scrimmages coming up this weekend. So if you're in town, go check them out. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good season for them as well. Really looking forward to that. And gymnastics is going to be coming up as well. I want to say at the beginning of December, they're holding their gymnastics 101, which is kind of like an exhibition where you can go in and see them perform and stuff. Anyway, any final thoughts, Wes?
No, I think it's, honestly, it's, I'm going to watch the LSU games the rest of the year too. I don't even know if we're watching, trying to see some exciting play for some young guys for next year. I don't even, we have no idea who's going to be on the team, who's going to start, who's going to be the coach, that kind of stuff. Nope. Hoping to the program doesn't get completely embarrassed and that we maybe win a couple of more games this year. And then I will say I'm excited about, I don't think we're going to hear anything about coaches until December. I think it'll be exciting. Seeing where the program goes. We'll see how annoying this transfer portal thing gets. But then I think on the reverse side, at the start of the year, there'll be some good news, probably with some people transferring in too. So,
yeah, it's just a really weird time for football in the state of Louisiana with LSU going through this transition, the Saints kind of going through a transition, not having Drew Brees, and then Winston getting hurt this week. So it's just a lot of things are really up in the air right now. There's no like certainty. It's just everything is a little crazy. And I'm a kind of guy that likes order as opposed to chaos. And right now everything is chaos. So hopefully we'll get some answers coming up pretty soon. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network. You only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that we do at the end of every Saints game, the Don't Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, where you can hear Wes. They had a very good episode this week. The Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which got published today. Did I say Premier League? Premier League podcast, which actually came out today as well. And of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking Me Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook. If you want to participate in game day chats, DM us on Twitter and get an invitation to our Discord server. It is a lot of fun on there. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, tiger donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand by.